In the second hour of today's Leonard Lopate Show, Mark Gerstein explains why accidents like Chernobyl and the Challenger disaster aren't accidents at all. And on Please Explain, a look at the world's most popular sandwich, the hamburger. We'll find out how the Hamburg steak became an international favorite. And you can tell us how you like your burger cooked on our show page at WNYC.org. This is WNYC. I'm Jeffrey Toobin sitting in for Leonard Lopate. And we have with us today on the telephone Chris Geigel, the politics editor at the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, to talk about what's going on in Washington state politics. Chris, how are you doing?
Great. How are you?
Good. So, John McCain, Barack Obama, who's going to win Washington state in November?
Barack Obama is likely going to win pretty handily. Washington State hasn't voted for a Republican since Ronald Reagan in 1984. Most of the polls have Barack Obama up by about 10 to 15 points. Most people would be very surprised if John McCain could even get into the single digits. So I think Washington State's a pretty safe state for the Democrats and Barack Obama in the presidential election.
Isn't that a bigger margin than John Kerry won by, that Al Gore won by? Are Democrats gaining in general in Wisconsin, in Washington, the way they appear to be gaining around the country?
You know, I think Washington State has always been a pretty solidly Democratic state. The saying in Washington State politics is there are two Washingtons. There's the Washington you can see from the top of the Space Needle, which is basically the Seattle metro area, and the rest of Washington. And Scoop Jackson, the former senator from here, said the only votes you need are the votes you need that you can see from the top of the Space Needle, because that's where the population is. And that's a pretty Democratic area. I think that Washington State is in the Democrats' camp for a variety of reasons. It's always been a pretty big labor state. I think another thing that's helping Barack Obama is John McCain, out here anyway, is really associated with the Bush administration, which isn't that popular. So I think that Bush wasn't popular in 04, and to the extent that McCain is associated with Bush, the Democrats have only strengthened on a national level here in Washington state.
Is the economy in Washington better or worse than the economy nationally?
Probably a little bit better. The housing crisis hasn't hit quite as hard here as it has elsewhere. Boeing is doing reasonably well. They have a new plane coming out, the 787, and production is ramping up on that. The tech industry, obviously with Microsoft and other companies, is very strong here. So while the economy isn't quite as strong as it was a couple of years ago, it is stronger than the rest of the country. So that won't be as big an issue out here.
Now, if the you also have a very hot governor's race,
yeah,
in the coming up, and a rematch from four,
yes,
years ago. Talk about who the candidates are.
Well, the incumbent's Chris Gregoire. She was a longtime attorney general. She won in 2004 after two recounts in what was widely considered the closest gubernatorial race in the nation's history. There were about 3 million votes cast. Chris Gregoire won by 133 votes after the second recount. Her Republican opponent, Dino Rossi, a former state senator, won the first two counts. And
just if we can pause there, I am someone who devoted, for better or worse, a great deal of my life to the Florida recount.
Sure.
This was really an extraordinary recount in Washington State four years ago, because what almost always happens in recounts is the winner on election night at the end of the day winds up being the winner of the election. And that's,
sure,
not what happened in Washington State.
No, and there's a lot of hard feelings still from that. What happened was in King County, the state's largest county, that's where Seattle is, they found some votes that they didn't count the first time, and the courts ruled that they could count them, and that helped Chris Gregoire win by the narrowest of margins.
Talk a little about what kind of governor she's been. How has she taken this very slender mandate and put it to use?
You know, I think her critics and even some of her allies would say that she has been hampered by this. She has not really come out with any bold programs. She's widely been seen to have sort of, she's been trying to straddle the fence and somewhat unsuccessfully. She's been criticized for not doing more to solve some of the transportation problems in the Seattle metro area. Most recently, as a lot of people probably know, the Seattle Sonics left for Oklahoma City, fairly or unfairly.
I was in Seattle during some of the controversy about the Seattle Supersonics leaving. I mean, there is a school of thought that was saying, you know, good riddance, they were asking us for too much money. But as a political matter, is the Sonics departure helpful or hurtful?
I think it hurts. The Republican interests have already started running ads blaming Gregoire for the Sonics' departure. And while you're right that there is a strong feeling out here that the NBA and the teams were just asking for too much public money, there's also a perception that it's just one more instance of government not doing something and letting an institution leave or wither. And in that respect, I think if it plays into the perception that Gregoire is indecisive, rightly or wrongly, it could cost her a little bit.
I'm Jeffrey Toobin. We're talking with Chris Griegel, the politics editor of the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, trying to get a bit of a sense of what's going on in the politics of the state of Washington. Okay, so that's Chris Gregoire, the incumbent. Talk about Dino Rossi. Where has he been for the last 4 years?
You know, he's basically been playing the candidate in waiting. After he lost the last count and lost a lawsuit trying to overturn the final election results, he's been touring around the state, basically running for governor the whole time. He is pretty popular in the eastern part of the state, which is more rural. He has a strong base of support in Seattle suburbs. He has sort of shadowed Chris Gregoire, making the case for this next run. And by all accounts, you know, it will be close. I think most people expect Gregoire to squeak through. But Rossi ran a very strong campaign in 2004. It's always difficult for Republicans to win statewide office in Washington State, and what he was able to do was get a lot of Democrats to end voting for him, especially suburban Democrats, and they ended up being called Dinocrats out here. And the key for him will be to get enough of those people to switch again, especially in the suburbs. I think a lot of people out here think that Barack Obama being on the top of the ticket helps Chris Gregoire, because that will likely get people out to vote who vote for the first time, and people who are unlikely to vote for a Republican. But I think most people think that the governor's race will be pretty close yet again, a rematch of two pretty evenly matched contestants from 2004.
Now, you folks in Washington State, you must love your politics a great deal, because you didn't just have one primary in the spring.
Yeah.
You had a primary, and then a separate day you had a caucus, and now on August 19th, you're going to have another set of primaries for statewide offices. Is that right?
Yes, we are.
You have a quirk in your system that's actually quite interesting. It's a system that's known as top two.
Yes.
Please explain what top two is.
Well, it goes back. Washington State for years and years and years had something called a blanket primary, and that meant that people could go into the voting booth, and they could vote for a Republican in one race, a Democrat in another race, and in the primary, and it was very, very popular here. The parties hated it.
Why did the parties hate it?
Because they felt that they lost control, it made it harder for them to identify their core supporters, and that it was too unruly for their liking. So after various court challenges, the blanket primary was ruled unconstitutional. What happened was the state launched an initiative drive, and they came up with this top two primary system, which was also challenged in court. And the top two primary, what happens there is the top two vote getters in any race move on to the general election. That could be two Republicans, two Democrats, two Green Party, two Independents.
Has this happened? I mean, that's pretty. I mean, those of us who have grown up with the two party system, the idea that a general election could be two Democrats running against each other or two Republicans running against each other is very hard to sort of figure out. I mean, hard to absorb. Has that happened yet, or is the system just now coming online?
No, it was challenged in court, and this spring, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that it could go forward. So this August will be the first time that we go through this. The parties are still squawking. They hate it. They're challenging it. They're still challenging it. They're questioning the legitimacy of it. But the Secretary of State and others say that it's valid and it will go forward. And I think the most interesting thing is that you're going to see, especially for state legislative races, you're going to see a lot of November tickets with two Democrats or two Republicans. It's also, I think, the minor parties are very upset because they're just not going to be on a lot of November ballots. And so it's sort of the undiscovered territory for us. But especially in state legislative races, it should make it very interesting. And one quick note is that the people who are a little bit nervous are incumbents. For example, if you're a state legislator in Seattle, you used to have a really, really safe seat if you were a Democrat. Now it makes it a little bit easier for another Democrat to come up and challenge you in the primary, make it through, and then make the case for the general election. So there are a couple of state legislators who I think are a little nervous.
We're talking with Chris Griegel, who is the politics editor at the Seattle PI, the Post-Intelligencer. We're talking about politics in Washington State. Chris, what about gaming, tribal gaming? It's a big issue in a lot of states. How has that been a big issue for Governor Christine Gregoire, the incumbent Democrat, and the politics of Washington State?
That's actually shaping up to probably be one of the biggest issues in the race. Washington State does have tribal gambling. Gregoire gets a lot of support from the tribes. She gets hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars of support, and so does the State Democratic Party. What is controversial, in 2005, she renegotiated the gambling compact with the tribes, which allows for essentially a doubling in the amount of casino gambling in Washington State. Where the controversy came is the original deal would have allowed some revenue sharing with the state, but Gregoire changed that, and so now the state will get no revenue from the expanded tribal gambling. The state's never gotten revenue from tribal gambling, but Washington's something of an anomaly there. I think more than 20 other states get a cut of the Indian gambling.
So the state gets no money from the gambling. Do they get tax revenue or?
Well, they get sales tax and ancillary taxes when the tribes spend money, but they don't get any like in other states the tribes would give 5%, 10%, 15% of the profits to the state, and in Washington State that does not happen.
But the state gets the virtue of having gambling, of having people throw away their money. I mean, it is really hard to believe that the state doesn't get a cut of the money, considering it's not exactly a benefit to the state to have simply people, playing blackjack.
Sure. And Gregoire's opponents, especially Dino Rossi, her governor's race opponent, are making a huge issue of this. And what the Democrats out here say is, look, the state, they didn't want to be in the gambling business. And what their opponents rightly point out is Washington State already is in the gambling business. We have a large state lottery. We do allow limited non-tribal gambling. So the ads you're seeing on this issue are pretty hard hitting, and they've been up and running for a couple of weeks. And I think that will be a very big issue going forward.
How is that a is gambling popular? Are there casinos? I'm trying to remember from my own time in Seattle and Tacoma. I don't remember seeing casinos. Where do you gamble in Washington?
Well, it is popular, but the way it's set up out here is it's outside the towns. There are casinos south of Seattle and south of Tacoma and north of Seattle, and the biggest ones are on reservations. So into Seattle or Tacoma, you've got to drive about 20 minutes out of town to get to these big casinos. But it's increasingly popular, and the amount of revenue is going up, the concern, like you pointed out, the people on the left are concerned all the ills that are associated with gambling are coming into the state. But a lot of people recognize that we're not going to roll that back, and perhaps the state should look at getting a cut from the expanded gambling and using the money to fund social services. The Washington State is looking at probably a significant deficit in the coming years, and people think that you know, the travel gambling revenue should help stem that to a certain extent.
Now, Washington State is a border state.
Yes.
It's a border with Canada. Immigration and trade have been hot-button issues around the country. How does trade play as an issue when you are so close to another country? It's usually in the context politically of Mexico.
Sure.
Around the rest of the country. But how is trade viewed as a political issue in Washington State?
You know, it's a big issue up here, but it's viewed differently. I think that the NAFTA bashing and some of the anti-trade rhetoric you get from the Republicans and the Democrats, it just doesn't play very well out here. Most the state's largest employer is Boeing, and that, you know, obviously very dependent on selling their airplanes all over the place. The tech industry is huge up here, and it's a, you know, a big international workforce, and they too are dependent on being able to sell their goods abroad. Even in the conservative part of the state, which is eastern Washington, agriculture is the number one industry, and they sell grain and their farm products to Asia and all around the world. So there really is a pretty strong backing for liberal trade policies out here, just because Washington State benefits so greatly from trade with Asia, trade with Canada, and so the anti-trade, anti-immigrant rhetoric doesn't play well out here at all.
Chris Griegel, the editor of the this politics editor of the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. One more quick question. Seattle is one of the last two newspaper towns in the country, isn't it? Is that likely to continue?
In the short term, you know, selfishly, I hope so. This Seattle Times and the Seattle PI were locked in a kind of contentious joint operating agreement. Like the rest of the media world, both papers are facing revenue problems. The Seattle Times, which is a family-owned company, is probably facing more significant revenue problems. I think for the short term, with the next year or two, certainly there's going to be a vigorous newspaper competition. But unfortunately, after that, I think it's anybody's bet. You know as well as anybody the pressures that the newspapers are under. So I think it's a year-to-year basis. But it would be too bad if there's only one newspaper.
Chris Griegel of the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, thanks for filling us in on distant Washington State.
Thank you.